Freedom Life. Come on, brother.
Amen.
Bring that technology with you. Amen.
Bring some technology with
you. Yeah, come on. You know we like that.
Praise God, everybody. And God is so good. You know, I know that we're here on this Christmas Eve, but I want you to just look at somebody on your left or right and just tell them that I love you with the love of Christ. I like that right there. I love you with the love of Christ. You know, I'm grateful for Pastor Tim and First Lady Eden, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for them. You don't know the love that just comes out of this couple. You get an opportunity to experience that. They are the real deal, and they're an example of Christ-likeness. They show and share Christ's love with many, and we just get to be recipients of that. But what you see is exactly what they are doing all over the place, and I'm grateful that they're in our lives, and I love you so much, both of you, I do. And she's a great cook, too, man. I'm telling you, she's a, man, I don't know if you've had parts of that, but I could go on and on and on with, Patrick, I said, Patrick, now I go high and I go low. Now, usually you can't walk away when I'm at the pulpit. You gotta stay there because the spirit gets us going. But I just, I'm respectful of the time, Pastor, but I could talk about you and First Lady all day. The grace that's on your life and the blessings that you've given us, Timmy and I, just not just physically, but spiritually. And I wake up sometimes and I'm getting up, and I'm thinking I'm getting up early, and there's a text waiting for me even earlier, you know, that this man of God, he loves it. And so I'm so grateful for him. Today I want to just explain to you a little bit before I go. I want you to think about some things. I want you to think about, oh, by the way, praise God for you. Praise God for you. I love you so much. I love you because you know that I love to sing those songs. I don't know all the words, but you kind of lead us a little bit, and you tell us what the next one is. And I love when they do that because I can sing along and actually make sense. But my wife doesn't let me sing too much just because of that. I add words in those places I don't know words. But it's good. It's so good to have you here. I was so excited to see you again, and thank God for you. So much blessings and appreciation, like I said, Pastor Tim and First Lady, and to you, the body. We are family here, and I come in as family. And my wife Tammy and I, we celebrate you. So when we come in, we are family. And so I hope that you will always know that that's how we view you, and I hope you view us as well that way. But I want to take you on a journey this Christmas Eve day. It's a journey of grace. It's a story that I'm going to give you. I want to share with you because it's the word I'm going to read to you. I want to share the word of God with you and help you to understand that Jesus didn't just come to bring us salvation. He came to introduce us to the Father. And many of us are living our lives from our mother's side and not really understanding what it means to live from our father's side. And so I want to share with you a little bit about that this Christmas, Christmas Eve day of this journey of grace. I want to talk to you about the greatest gift of all. And I want to help you to take you at the end of this day that you will leave out of here knowing which side you are looking at, from your mother's side or from your father's side. So let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this day, this opportunity, the gathering of fellowship of your people, your children, your sons and your daughters. God, may we see our lives in the fullness of the blessings of the Father, knowing that you are our Father, our Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, we're grateful for our earthly mothers, but the Heavenly Father coming into the family of the kingdom. God, we know that our lives have been transformed. Our lives are changing. So today, we're here from you, your Holy Spirit. Speak to us as we share and fellowship today to grow stronger, to be empowered, to be equipped and engaged, to be all that you call us to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So put your hand on your heart and say, eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, a mouth to proclaim all the good things Christ has already done for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. And give somebody a high five. So as I come to you with a fatherhood anointing to read to you on this Christmas living room gathering. It's we're sitting before the family with one another, and we're sipping on hot chocolate, and we're glistening with the stories of Christ. And so I want to share with you, and I want you to understand and feel and just receive the Christness that God has a message, a love letter for his children today. It begins in Isaiah 9, and beginning in verse 6, it says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." He moves on to Isaiah 53, and if he says, "Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away, and we've left God's path to follow our own, and yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. I'm telling you a story of grace. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and to cause him grief. Yet, when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. And it will give him the honors of a victorious soldier, because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He was bore. Many and interceded the rebels. As we move into Hebrews 12, you hear him say, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." He did that for you. He saw the joy of us coming into the reconciliation of the Father, returning back with his grace. He saw us coming into the kingdom. It was a joyful experience because he knew he saw us from the Father's side. I want you to remember today to see yourselves from the Father's side. Don't leave here thinking that you're just born as a son or daughter on your mother's side. I want to ask you, which side are you looking at Jesus? Which side do you view yourself in? I want to encourage you today about the good news of sonship and our Father's plan. I go in Ephesians 1, and I read to you a story again from the Father's love letter. Beginning in Ephesians 1, and Paul has articulated it very clearly. He says, "I'm writing this letter to all the devoted believers." All the devoted believers. Put your hand on your heart and say, "I'm a devoted believer." My goodness. I love that. I love the pastor say, yes, I am. You know, because we can say things because the pastor says to say it. But if it's just sitting up here and not sitting there, I'm about to preach, pastor. It's sitting up here and it's not going down in here. Then it's just head knowledge. But we need to understand we're not trying to get what's up here down in here. We need to get what's here in our spirit up in here and renew your mind to the things of God. And so he tells us in Ephesians, he says, I'm writing to all the devoted believers who have been made holy by being one with Jesus. You have been made holy by being one with Jesus. That's big news. That's a game changer for us. And I want you to understand that. Jesus came for a purpose. Glory to God. May God himself, the Heavenly Father, by Lord Jesus Christ, release grace and impart total well-being into each one of your lives. Receive that. That's a declaration for you today. My goodness, it says every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love offering, already been lavished upon us as a love offering, as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because he sees us wrapped up in Christ. And this is why we celebrate him with all of our hearts. And he has chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself before he laid the foundation of the universe. I'm just telling you what God's love letter says. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we can be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. I don't know what you see when you look in the mirror, but God sees you holy and blameless. And you have to remember that. See yourself from your Father's side. Glory to God. For it's always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love, hear me now, for the same love he has for his beloved Jesus, he has for us. That means he loves us the same. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us the same way. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. My goodness. It brings him great pleasure. Hallelujah. And since we are now joined with Christ, we are now joined with Christ. Since we are now, you English majors know that means that, okay, we're making a statement. Since I'm joined now with Christ, hallelujah, we've been given the treasures of redemption by his blood. There's the gospel. Listen to it. The total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing within us all forms of practical understanding and wisdom. I'm telling you, it's already working in us. My sister Corinne, do you hear me? It's already working in us. Glory to God. We don't have to wait for it. When we come into the kingdom, it is ours. And through the revelation of the Anointed One, his unveiled secret desires to us, the hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he was delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax, when God makes all things new in all the heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Are you hearing me? The Heavenly Father has claimed us as his own. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always, 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 not sometimes, maybe, but always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. That's a good, good father. You see, his plan was that the Jews, who were the first to long for the messianic hope, would be the first to believe in the Anointed One and bring great praise and glory to God. And because of him, then we, who were not Jews, because then when this was writing, it was either you were a Jew or you were a Gentile, you were a Jew or a non-Jew. He says, now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. And he's given to us like an engagement ring is given to a bride as the first installment of what's coming. He is our hope promise of a future inheritance, which seals us until we have all of redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all for the supreme glory and honor of God. I don't know about you, but I know this love couple right here. They tell each other 1,000 times how much they love them. I've seen it in action. Limited sin, But I just tell you, they love one another so much. But think about when you were getting engaged, if you're married, or maybe you're thinking about getting engaged. Or listen, I've got a nephew, Trey, and he just recently got engaged to Carly. And I can tell you right now, there was joy all over his face because there was expectation of the days ahead, of the weeks ahead, of the months, of the years, of all that was going to happen in that relationship as it progressed. He had something to look forward to. He was excited. Carly was excited. Trey was excited. They were beaming with joy. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming back, and he's given us an engagement ring of the Holy Spirit, and we have something to look forward to. Stop looking at yourself in your mother's side and see yourself from your father's side. There's joy coming. There's goodness coming. If you think it's good now, just wait. Hang on. Glory is coming. Glory is coming. Pastor says that all the time. There's more to come. Hallelujah. My goodness. Oh, my God. I was just going to speak a little bit this morning, but I tell you, you walk in this place, and you hear the beans singing, and it just starts to rise up in you, and all of a sudden, the atmosphere changes. Glory. Hallelujah. My goodness. So I want to share with you, I want to speak these four little prayers that Paul does. I want to make it into a declaration for you. And so you just receive these four, they're simple but profound proclamations for you. In conclusion, here's what it says. There's four points of wisdom and revelation to grow in grace. And number one says, I pray and I declare over each one of you. I declare that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to each one of you, my goodness, the riches of the Spirit of wisdom. Put your hands up and receive this. I'm telling you right now, the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation to know him through the deepening intimacy with him, because intimacy is important in the kingdom of God. I want you to understand this. Listen, you must first understand your identity, because when you understand your kingdom identity, you grow in intimacy, and when you grow in intimacy, revelation knowledge is revealed to you. The more you grow intimate with the Father, he's going to reveal things to you, and your life is going to change. So I'm declaring over you that you will grow deeper in intimacy with the Father. I pray that the light of God, and I declare over you that it will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, your thinking, your thoughts, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones. I'm telling you, you can look it in the Bible. These words are his impact to you. I pray and declare that you will walk in favor, the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Keep believing. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on him. Your faith will rise up. And lastly, I tell you that your lives, when you leave here, you will be an advertisement of his immense power as it's working through you. You're going to be riding down this highway out here. All of a sudden, people are going to start honking at you. You're going to, why are they honking at me? Something's happening. There's a glow coming from your car because you're shining with the Father's light. You're no longer seeing yourself. They looked at you on your mother's side, but they're going to see you on your father's side because his glory is being revealed in you. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power. What is this power? I hear you, Pastor Tim. You said, what power are you talking about? I said, I'm glad you asked me. Because the word says, this is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now Christ is exalted as first above every ruler, as first above every authority, as first above every government, as first above every realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is to come. And he alone, Christ alone, not your mama, not your daddy, not your sister, not your brother, not even your pastor. Christ alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the church. He has given us everything in him. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. Now, I want to pause for just a moment because I want you to hear something here. It's from Matthew 11:27. Matthew 11:27, Jesus said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man can know the Son but the Father. And neither can any man know the Father except the Son. And to whomever the Son reveals. Hear those words. Hear the word of Jesus. His words are narrow and they are very specific. His words are intentional and with great focus. Jesus said that we cannot know God the Father unless he reveals him to us, unless he introduces him to us. Because until Jesus came, he was God, a distant deity. But when Jesus comes, he says, I want to introduce you to the Father, as Father. So without Jesus, we're left just worshiping in our thoughts what God is. We never knew what he was really like. Jesus came for a purpose. He was specific and he was intentional. Jesus is the exact image of the invisible God. Now listen, Pastor, I wonder if you can just to give you an understanding of what it means that he's the exact image of the invisible God. When he was 12 years old, I'm trying to stay within my realm here because I want to just go all over the place, but I'm telling you, listen, if you think about when Jesus was 12 and he was sitting before at the temple, he was standing there and he was talking to them and having dialogue and conversations with them. 12 years old, he was doing this. And they were like, oh my goodness, can you imagine them talking to him saying, who is this young man? Who are you? What is this? Where is he coming from? Whose son are you? I remember Jesus probably said something to him a little bit like this. Can you imagine? He probably looked at him and said, well, on my mother's side, I'm a 12-year-old little boy. But on my father's side, I'm older than my mother and just as old as my father. He said, you see, there was never a time when Jesus was not. Jesus always was, always is, and always shall be. On his mother's side, Jesus got thirsty. But on his father's side, he created the oceans and the seas and the brooks and the streams. On his mother's side, they had to give Jesus a drink. But on his father's side, he said, I am the living water. If you're thirsty, come and drink from me. On his mother's side, Jesus got hungry, but he, on his father's side, he fed 5,000, not including the women and children. He said, I am the bread of life. On his mother's side, he lived in poverty and was homeless, but on his father's side, he created the universe and the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills. On his mother's side, he wept with a broken heart at the tomb of Lazarus, but on his father's side, he said, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came in the name of Jesus. Who are you looking at? How are you looking at Christ Jesus? Are you seeing him on his mother's side? Or are you seeing him on his father's side? We've got to start looking. When you come into the kingdom, life changes for you. We are different in the kingdom. We are set apart. We're in the world, but not of the world. And I'm telling you, you've got to get that understanding about you. Oh my goodness, I'm so glad you sang this morning because you stirred something up in me. I'm telling you. And I was just going to flat lie, sing, and talk, but something happened, Pastor, when that anointing starts to rise up. My goodness, my goodness. I know it's Christmas Eve morning, but listen, I'm awake right now. The Holy Spirit is awake in me. Oh my goodness, hallelujah. He says, and now we, his church, are his body on the earth, and that which fills him are being filled by it. God's power raised us from the dead. In Ephesians 2, he says, and his fullness fills us. Glory to God. Even though we were once like corpses, dead in our sin and offenses, it wasn't that long ago that we lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and the desires of our self-life, our self-righteousness. The Bible says we live by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children, subject to God's wrath like everyone else. Oh, my goodness. Let me read that one more time. We live by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children, subject to God's wrath like everyone else. But God, it's that holy but. But God, but God still loved us with such a great love, Pastor. It says he is so rich in compassion and mercy. It says even when we were dead and doomed on our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. Hallelujah. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one. We ascended with him into the glorious perfection and the authority of the heavenly realm. But we are now co-seated with Christ. You can't look at yourself on your mama's side. You got to just see yourself on the Father's side. If you never see yourself on the Father's side, you'll always think life on your mother's side. Defeated, lack, you would never go where you need to go. See yourself on the Father's side. Throughout the coming ages, will be visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. When I talk about the mother's side, I love my mama, but let me tell you, I love my daddy, but my father, the love goes beyond. On my father's side is where we need to stand and understand him. For it was only through his wonderful grace that we believed in him. It was his grace. And you spoke about that today. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation. Nothing we did, for it was a gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. Why? Because no one could boast. Salvation is not something that we work or have a reward for good works or human striving. Our performance is not going to do it. We become the poetry of heaven, a recreated people, a people that will fulfill the destiny he's given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the anointed one. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Praise God for his word. Praise God for his word. Hallelujah. You see, the Father always saw us transformed into a new life in Christ. He sees us that way. The more we recognize Jesus in us, the more we reflect his glory to those around us, the more they start seeing us in our new kingdom way. Because of Christ Jesus, when we believe, we were washed in God's DNA. Because of what Christ has done for us, the Father's nature is now in us. Because of what Christ has done for us, the Father's love and goodwill fills our hearts. Because of what Christ Jesus has done for us, we now reflect his glory. The Christ-likeness in us enables us to function as he does. And I'm telling you, listen, this is kingdom-mindedness. This is our life in the kingdom. Christ in us is the greatest gift of all. Christ's love and power should be operating in every area of our lives. The grace of God is sufficient for everything we could ever need. Don't ever think you lack, because you carry the glory of heaven. The Bible says, of his fullness we have received, and grace upon grace. As we learn to walk with him, as we learn to talk with him, as we learn to call him our own, in the name of Jesus, we begin to see his grace abound more abundantly in our lives. When we receive Christ Jesus into our hearts, Pastor, we got the whole package. We got the Father's love. We got the Father's righteousness. We got the Father's grace. We got the Father's redemption. We got the Father's salvation and eternal life. It came into us. It was packaged for us. We didn't have to work for it. It was coming to us from the Father's side. Sometimes when we come into marriage, we gain a whole bunch of things. When we're married to the bride of Christ, we come into the inheritance of Christ. The Bible says in Colossians 1:13 that God, when we said yes, he reached down and pulled us out of that realm of darkness and put us into the realm of the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And since he's done that, it says a little bit later in Colossians 1:15 that he is, Christ Jesus, is the exact image of the invisible God. Let me tell you, when Christ reflects through you, we become the exact image of the invisible Christ. I'm telling you, by his doing, the Bible says, he put us in Christ and made Christ unto us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You are not like the world. You are different. You are created differently. You are a new creation. Don't look at yourself on your mama's side. See yourself from your father's side. Stop looking that you're a little baby here on this earth. See yourself from the father's side. Yeah, I was born to my mama, but you see on my father's side. Hallelujah. I've been born again. We are the new birth. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. On my mama's side, I look just like you do. But on my father's side, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. On my mama's side, I'm standing before you in the flesh. But on my father's side, I'm seated high in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. On my mama's side, I've got a few dollars in my pocket. But on my father's side, my provisions are all taken care of. I have joint heirs with Christ with all the spiritual realms of in heavenly realm inheritances. On my mama's side, my righteousness is a filthy rags, glory. But on my Father's side, I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He sees me holy. He sees me blameless. He sees me forgiven. He sees me blessed, chosen, called. I'm living on my Father's side, on my mama's side. Glory to God. On my mama's side, my days are marked. My days have a beginning and an end. But on my Father's side, hallelujah, in Christ Jesus, I have eternal life. And I have eternal life with my Heavenly Father forever, my dear Lord Jesus Christ, and the wonderful Holy Spirit throughout all of eternity. May we leave here today beginning to live from our Father's side. Let us begin to live with the mindset of kingdom-mindedness in Christ Jesus. You see, on his mother's side, as I close, he said, Jesus came into the world a baby, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. But on his father's side, glory to God, on his father's side, he's coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Lion of Judah. He's coming again wrapped in all the majesty of heaven, and he's coming for us, his bride, you and you and you and me. Start looking with anticipation because he's coming back. He's coming back for us, glory to God. Unto us, a child is born. A son is given. Glory. Will you receive that gift today? John 3:16 reminds us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. This Christmas, as people all over the world and us too begin to open gifts, may we all remember and see Christ from his Father's side, the greatest gift of all, Christ Jesus, that was opened for us. Whole world, believe that gift. Believe in him. Receive it for the free gift. Merry Christmas. God bless you. God bless you. Sorry, I'm sweaty.